And so the reason why I chose this passage is because the testimonies that were there, the joys and the grace that was there in Central America, I was thinking what passage would express this best, and I believe it's here. Pastor Kim has preached on this verse very often, and it's something that we know really well. But I just want to prophesy with this word that in this season, this community, we share the heart of God that was to Moses in this word. Here we see Moses. We see Moses, because Israelites were filled with wickedness, with unrighteousness. God is saying that I will not go with you. You go to the promised land, but I will not go with you. And Moses says, Moses tells everyone to get rid of their ornamentation and comes before God and says to God that, Lord, you know my name and I have found favor in your sight. Then, Lord, show me the way forward. And let me know you. And let me and consider too that this nation is your people. And so when you look at here, what we want to look at right now is verse 13. It says, please show me now your ways. This is something that I really like. This is a word that I really like, reveal, to show. So please show me now your ways. Help me to discern. May I know you in order to find favor in your sight. That, Lord, I want to find favor in your sight. And what is the result of finding you in your sight? It's consider too that this nation is your people. And so, prove that this nation is your people. That the heart of this leader of the people, that Lord, if I truly have found favor in your sight, how will people know? Then I want to know who you are. And how can I lead all of these people? Lord, you need to show me your ways. And so do you know why I'm doing intercession this way? It's because I'm asking God, show me. And this is what God showed me. And so that's why I'm doing this. And I said to God, show me your ways. And rather than seeing the things of God, I made discussions, seeing what's the best way, what's the most efficient way, what is the most effective way. But I asked this time, God, show me. And to come to know God. And then the second half of the sentence caught in my eyes. Please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And so, Lord, confirm that we are your people. And same thing, I say to our church members, show God, show them that they are your people, that they are your chosen remnant. And I was thinking to myself, what would give us this confirmation? And I said, God, you have to go with me. And he said, my presence will go with you. In verse 16, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? And so as Moses is speaking to God, God says that you have found favor in my eye. But here, Moses' heart is always with the people. I and your people. How shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Now, honestly, the people, God was already casting them away, and yet he's constantly including them. And so how can it be known, right? How would it be known, right? If you're rich, if you're healed, if you become wise, if you become beautiful? No, how can they know? And what do we see? How will it be known? Is it not in your going with us? so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth. And then I realized, oh, this is it? That God is with us, that's it? How will it be known that I found favor in your sight? Is it not in your going with us? And so in my heart, I thought that this was just so obvious. And is this it? And yet God brought me to repentance as our intern kids were leading worship. The thing that they continued convinced is that God is with us. God was with us. The joy that came from this confession, you know, they enjoyed food. They had a good time at Roatan. It was all good, but that's not what brought them joy. What brought them joy was that God was with them. That in my despair, though I could do nothing, he was with me. And because he was with me, I could not help but give my all to him. That this was more than enough. That this is how we can know that we have found favor in his sight. That he is with us. And because he is with us, is this not the way that you can, that the people will know that we are distinct? That God is with us. This distinct, that we are different from the other peoples of the earth. And another thing about this is that we have been made fearfully made. So this is the evidence that we have found favor in your sight. But look at our history. Look at how fearfully we are made. And look at how much God is doing amazing things. And this is all coming from the fact that he is with us. That God is with us. Do you believe? Do you have faith? So as I look at my faith, this might be an attack specific to me, but I know that God is with us. And yet, why do we have so much pain? Why do we still have such hardship? Why do we still not transform? Why are we still having all of these issues? And so many times, I cannot think that God is with us. But as I was speaking with Hanju, when you look at the Israelites, there is something special about them. Many of them have come to our church many times. That they're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And one thing that was loosened to me is when you see the blessing of the 12 tribes of Israel, I was reading that, and when God created us, right, a spirit for our eyes, a spirit for our ears, all of the spirits in our various organs. And so in our ears, he gave us the spirit of wisdom, right, through hearing. And our eyes is the spirit of discernment. And so it caused all these spirits. And then Simon, right, when Simon sold Joseph, right, that the spirit of deception came to give him jealousy. And he realized that it was the spirit that made him do it. And Reuben... What did Reuben say? Reuben said that the immoral spirit attacked me and made me lie with my father's concubine so that I could not look at the face of my father. And so they leave these last wills. And so for 5,000 years, the Israelites have been living by spirit. And so that's why they're so sensitive. And so many times because we do not live by spirit and now we're trying to learn spirit is really difficult. And we think that, oh, why is there so many spirits? But to Israel, everything is a spirit. You know, our eyes are spirits, our ears are spirits, how these spirits move to make us to affect our behavior. And so they know the Holy Spirit very well. And so if they just feel the movement of the Holy Spirit, they bow down, right? And so many times we do not have that kind of reaction, do we? And we're not having that same sensitivity that God has come to us, right? That rather, oh, it just feels nice. It feels good. And so we're losing sight of God. And so what am I trying to say? God is so powerfully with us. Amen? As Pastor Kim always says, we're always in the state of revival, that God has always been with us. And his powerful anointing fire and breath of life has been poured out upon us. He is with us. And yet, if our interest were just to focus on the Spirit just a little bit. And so whenever we talk about yeast, we think that, oh, it's because we did not bring bread. No, the anointing, we should feel God. But rather, we feel anointing, we feel fire, and God separate. And because we're always separating these, We are unable to enjoy and avail though all of the things of God. And so, Lord, Lord, today, every moment by moment, Lord, be with us. Yes, you are with me. You are with me. My eyes are open, but Lord, let me see you closer than the air around me. That, Lord, there's anointing. And in this anointing, Lord, let it be. Let me know that you are with me. You are with me. And so trying to feel God who is with me, worshiping God who is with me, and seeing how great God is, and not seeing the characteristics of each people. We are so focused on what people are doing. Who's preaching today? Who's leading prayer today? Oh, what are these children doing? Or let's see what these children have done. No, rather we need to see God. See God who is whispering to me right now, who is laying his hands upon me right now, who is healing me right now, who is with me right now, who is touching me in such amazing ways. And yet we feel lonely, and yet we have focused on what we can see with our eyes and not enjoying the spiritual things of God. Though he is working in such amazing ways, he works everywhere we go. He works in children. He works in us. And so let us rejoice that God is with us. Amen. And so, Lord, let our community once again be filled with the joy that Emmanuel, that God is with us, that Lord, this grace, that we would not fall back on this, we would not retreat from this, that no regret, no despair would affect us, that how could there be fear when God is with us? And so don't think about that kind of things. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? And God has given us righteousness, and he keeps saying that he has given us righteousness. And is righteousness this important? Yes, yes, it is. But with the joy of salvation, and so I start feeling like this. Jesus died on the cross for us, and what he gave us is righteousness, yes? He did not give us a new truth. He did not give us a new joy, right? He gave us righteousness. And so for this righteousness, God came and died. The Son of God came and died on the cross to give us righteousness. Then what is this righteousness? What is this righteousness that he would kill his son for us? That righteousness is the privilege to be with God. That God is with us. That God is with us. Come before me. Come before me. This is the privilege. That he has given us this privilege. And And so we are mocking the cross when we let other worries of the world affect us. And so let us rejoice that the Lord is with us. Amen. And then verse 17. And Lord said that this, I know you by name. And Moses then says, please show me your glory. And he says, I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name. But then and then verse 19 was somewhere where I was really blessed. In verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. He's saying, yes, I will show you my glory. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And while I was in Central America, I want to share with you something that happened. I went to Costa Rica in a very difficult way. And there were many things happening here and there in Costa Rica. But when we went to Honduras, there was a lot of spiritual attacks that made it really difficult for me. For the most part, I'm not someone who rushes things and gets angry easily, and yet I was filled with anger. And I was not getting used to myself. And yet I could feel that this is me. And so when I went to Honduras, what I could feel is unworthy, unworthy. Everything that I see is unworthy. This is unworthy, that is unworthy. And that everything is blocked. Everything is frustrated. And there was another word. But these words kept coming up inside of me. And there was someone who bought us pizza, someone who even came to Korea and bought pizza. And I was grateful and they enjoyed the pizza. But after one slice, there was no pizza left. And I was thinking to myself, oh, what's wrong? And so in this way, there were little things that would bother me. And on the first day, Pastor Samuel wanted to take us to a public park. That there is a waterfall just 10 minutes away from here. And then, so let's take our children there since they're already here. But it took more than an hour when he said it was only 10 minutes. It was the first day of the conference. And so I could not control this anger inside of me. Like, what the heck is going on? This is the first day of conference. Why are you lying to me? And so I was filled with this anger. And there's people who are sick and hurting. And I was filled with this anger. And I said, oh, next time, give me honest. And I thought I was saying all of these things, thinking that Pastor Samuel would not understand me. And then next to me is Benjamin. And so I was so ashamed. What the heck am I doing? But these kinds of circumstances kept happening. And so I start to think like, oh, what is going on? Why is this land so bound? And our children had such good time in Honduras. I had a good time as well. And yet, though people were having good time, none of them had hope. They were all just children who were just sitting there and just looking for fun. And I could feel how bound this land was. And I start to think like how difficult it must be for these people. How hard it must be for them. That everything is upsetting. Everything is frustrating. Everything seems like there's a blockage. And then you know what happened in Ruatan, right? We were supposed to go there for 2 days, but they reserved the wrong day, and so we only went 1 day. And so all of these circumstances, from the perspective of Babylon, it's all unworthy. Everything is wrong. And as the director, I was thinking that, oh, everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. It should have been like this. It should have been like that. And so I was filled with all this anger. But the surprising thing was that God, when I felt this way, God says that I love the most. That I love these brothers and sisters. And that when you judge people in this way, someone is judging you the same way. And so God kept stopping me so that I could not judge. Like, honestly, judgment started coming all the time. You know, all of this judgment kept coming up. But the amazing thing was God would keep blocking it, would block these judgments that I love this person, that I'm watching over this person, that I'm working in their lives. And so he would keep speaking to me. And God made it so that I could not help but acknowledge them. And so I was surprised by this. Lord, why such love? Why such great love? And to the point that he sends this army to take vengeance. So why are you taking this vengeance? And yet, honestly, I could not think why. What's the reason? I cannot think of the reason. But what I know for sure is that something similar is described in Romans, where I will give mercy to who I give mercy. I will be gracious to who I will give mercy, great grace. What can you say regarding this? And remember, Honduras is where we began Costa Rica, especially in La Ceiba. And where Esther lives is the countryside, the countryside. And Isaac gave his testimony that as a PK, he had a lot of hurts and wounds. Because his father was drowned, and he has an older brother who is mentally handicapped. And after seeing his sister and father drown in the sea, you know, they had to become praise team, whether they wanted to or not, and they would do it. But then Pastor Mino Kim would come and say, "You also praise." And they didn't want to come to Korea because at that time, they felt that they were unworthy to do it at the church. And yet they would come here saying that there were so many praise teams that do well. And yet we thought that they were the best, right? They even blow trumpets and they would praise. But there's from their perspective that there are people who do better than them. And but yet graciously that they followed and obeyed their mother, and they would continue to obey. And Pastor Mino Kim would say, "Hey, come to Korea." And they thought that, you know, it was just a joke. But the next day, Pastor Sergio asked them, "Do you have passport?" And he was surprised. He was surprised. And I was surprised, like, why didn't you trust us? But anyways, and so his life was completely transformed. And he gave us this testimony. And I just was doing things just because my mom told me to. And yet God is using us. And I'm so grateful that God is using us. And so I told them that not anyone comes here. It's only the remnant who comes here. And if you don't have the right to be remnant, then don't be here. And what is the right to be remnant? First is the lame. The second are the exiled. The third are the persecuted. And if you don't have this, then leave. And they were all happy. They're all happy because they all have this. They all belong to these categories. And then, so God, who looks for the lame, who looks for the exiled, who looks for the persecuted. And so our children, they were blessed and they received a lot of grace. And, you know, all of these ministers who would praise together, but they didn't just praise. They would also be teachers. They would be, and on Sundays they would worship. And then when they go back, they would be teachers. And so seeing how dedicated they were, that there was nothing that they could not do, that they would make everything happen. And then so when I looked at them, I was filled with such amazement and wonder. Because even during that conference, when they would meet with us, the Holy Spirit would come and they would just pray in power, and I could see transformation in him. And God would transform them in such dramatic ways, and they were being strengthened. And I was thinking, oh, how precious is this? And then this lady came to me, started dancing with me, and saying that she was the mother of Fillmore. And I was surprised. Oh, wow, your son is so amazing. Your son is so amazing. You should be grateful. And then later, I said to Fillmore, and he said to just do a video, because the mother used to persecute him, that why are you going to that conference? What are you going to do in the future? What are you going to do if you spend all your time at the church? But all of a sudden, she started coming to church. And I said that you are so amazing. There's no one like you in this world. And what I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, when I was angry and feeling that everything's unworthy, what was the reason for that? Was it because of sin? No, it's not because of sin. It wasn't because of sin. It was because I was frustrated. Because it was not like Babylon. Like I was thinking, everything should have been according to schedule. Everything should have been according to your promise. That everything should have been done in right way so that there was no lack, that everything was good, everything was clean, everything was efficient. And yet it was not. We went, but it would not work out. We did something, it was uncomfortable. Something that should have gone, took only 10 minutes, it took more than an hour. And yet, none of the Hondurans were frustrated. None of them were filled with this hardship. And so I was shocked. And honestly, every time I go to Central America, I'm so surprised, because it feels like they live in a different world than us. How are they so peaceful? How are they receiving such great healing? And I realized when Taesung even got married, when they were carrying the money in the suitcase, I prayed so hard for them. But when I asked Esther, did you have a good time in the honeymoon? Even though you knew that there was this problem with the bag. If she was a Korean woman, She probably would have been so frustrated, so crazy, right? They probably would have gotten divorced. But they had a good time during their honeymoon. And so I was so grateful. So we think that they have a screw loose. But honestly, that's what we need. And so I was thinking to myself once again that, Lord, they are so nice. They're so nice. They would all be easily deceived by us. They need to be smarter. But God said, it's because they are always pillaged that I fill their needs. And so when we look at them by our Babylonian standard, we see how much it doesn't make sense. And then so as I was sitting there and praying, God said, Lord, I want to hear your voice a little bit better. And Lord, I cannot hear it all the time. I cannot feel it all the time. But Lord, I want to feel your love more. I want to enjoy more of you being with me. What is the secret? Why can I feel it? And God said to me, it's because you look out for yourself. You're so busy looking out for yourself that you cannot look to me. You do not want to hurt ever again. You do not want to have trouble ever again. You do not want to fail ever again. And so instead of trusting God in all circumstances, looking out for myself, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? And so building up all my walls and not letting God do it, that, taking preventative measures myself, that if this happens, it'll be difficult. If this happens, I'll be hard. And so I have to be careful. I have to be cautious that I should only spend time with this kind of person or with that kind of person. And so because I'm so busy trying to watch out for myself, I do not allow God to work in me. And so God, who lets me cross the water, who lets me walk on water, God, who lets me go, rather than experience that, I say, Lord, keep me away from water. Or I have to stay away from water. I have to stay away from water. And so because I'm so busy looking out for myself, God has nothing to do. And so let's remember God who has mercy on us. And when I look at Esther's family, they have that pain. And then they also have Daniel, their brother, who has a handicap. And because of Daniel, their family goes through much pain. And though they have that pain, I'm reminded of my family as well. And yet, I think about how much mercy God has on us. Right? Just as God looks out for the widows and the orphans in the same way, I could see how much God's favor is on their family, how much mercy is on their family. And that mercy is what's feeding them. That mercy is what's surviving them. And if that's the case, maybe us, the problem is that we have no problems. Why do I keep this person far away? Why do I not minister? You know, many times am I ministering to people trying to teach them how to avoid danger, how to avoid hardship, how to avoid persecution? Am I teaching them methods of that? How much of our ministry has been tainted by Babylon? And so, Lord, now, above all else, we want to enjoy being with you. It's not about, oh, this doesn't work out, that doesn't work out, why are you acting like this to me? Why are you doing this to me, God? No, not this Babylonian mindset. But Lord, if I'm with you, all things I can break through. And now Chemo is going to the army. Yesung is going to the army. As long as God is with them, that's all good enough. Amen.
And for me as well, you have no idea how much the Lord was there for me when I was suffering, when I was struggling. And even right now, God is with those who are having hardships. He's with those who are going through difficulties. Do not be oppressed. Unless you're wrestling with sin, do not be oppressed. Do not wrestle. Do not struggle with the standards of Babylon. It's not time for us to struggle with those bindings, but rather we need to fight, be victorious, and actually enjoy the blessings of God. Now let us pray. Lord, as we went through the youth camp, we praise you for working so powerfully upon us. And it's nothing else. We were able to achieve all this because you were there for us. Would you help us to open up our eyes and not turn those eyes towards ourselves, but look at the whole picture. Help us to pray for ourselves and also the church. We're going to pray to the Lord of this church. And we know that you are here with us. You are here with us. You are with Zoe Ministry. We know that you are with the remnants. We know that you do these great works. You set us apart. And we know that we are receiving your great grace and your great mercy. And though we have a lot of pain and suffering within our lives, when God casted out Israel, when Israel was taken into captivity, they knew that they're going to be taken for 70 years. But as soon, when he was chasing them away, he promised that they would return after 70 years. So there was a promise of restoration. God did not say, I'll just let you go into captivity without any time of ending, so that you will suffer and just go through a lot of pain and suffering during that time. Even though they were receiving punishment for their wickedness, God would still strike those who took them into captivity, even though he was the one that allowed them to do so, because they harmed his children. They touched his people. And that is the mercy of God. When I look at Honduras, they may not be good enough to do anything, but no, in the eyes of God, they are good, they are perfect. He's going to do great things through them because they have a desire for God, and they're actually weak and lame, which is the conditions of being a remnant. That is the power of salvation. This is the biggest strength and the biggest condition that moves the hand of God. So we must pray saying, Lord, I want to become that person. I want to become poorer. I want to become more humble in my heart so that I can be filled with your love instead. I want to be satisfied with you instead of the things of the world. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. You have given us a great victory through this youth camp. And now we want to bring this flow into the domestic youth camp as well. And we know that you raising up the youth right now is for them to become the last runners of this race. Which will also expand the youth camp to become more global, international, so that we can continue to raise up the last runners of each nation. And would you bring all the glory of the first half of 2025 to its climax during the Israel conference? Oh Lord, would you pour a new anointing, new presence, new glory upon us? And help us to live the holy life of a remnant, where it is led by your glory. Would you bless us in this way? And would you receive the offerings given today? In this time of poverty and difficulties, the people of the world are crying out in their pain and suffering. But even in this generation of poverty and difficulties, just as the Israelites saw your glory and were fed in the land of Goshen, would you bring your glorious abundance, glorious power and freedom upon your people? Especially would you raise up your businesses and bless the families of this church so that they will dig up these wells that will never run dry. And let them realize that since you are taking care of them, that they will not be afraid to go and expand their land, conquer, which will solidify their identity of being a part of this church. Let them do everything out of being a church, running their businesses, caring for their families, teaching their children. Would you bless them and bless them and bless them all you want? Now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and the love of the Holy Father, and the indwelling, comforting, fulfilling work of the Holy Spirit, be upon all those who are going into this new glory season, be upon their businesses, their families, upon this nation, upon this people, upon Zori Ministry and Yerbang Church, and all the missionaries commissioned from now until forevermore. Amen.